This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
Patriots look good in their preseason opener, and the Red Sox continue to reel. I am Chris Ryan. Thanks for joining us for the Press Pass. Biggest takeaway from the Patriots game against the Washington football team, Mac Jones looked really good, looked really comfortable, putting the ball in some difficult spots, making big plays, and being decisive with his throws. Cam Newton started the football game, but certainly Mac Jones was impressive. Matthew Judon as well on the defensive side of things. Patriots defense as a whole, you start to see the talent that that group has. It's really impressive. So a great first look for the New England Patriots. You don't want to read too much into these games, but I will say that looking at this Patriots team in totality, you see the type of weaponry that they're going to have. You see how they're going to use the tight ends, and you see how good of a defensive football team they're going to be. This Patriots team is going to be very good, but the question remains at quarterback. Cam Newton is the starter, but for how long? That is the question. If he falters, it will be Mac Jones who steps in. I don't think there's any question about that. It's going to be how long does Cam Newton keep the job? Is it through the course of the season? Is he able to make winning football plays? Is he able to help the team? Or will there be a time when it will, in fact, be Mac Jones who steps in? So a lot of optimism about the Patriots. Not so much for the Red Sox right now, as they're not just falling in the division. They are clawing to hang on to a wild card spot. Team lost 2 of 3 to the Tampa Bay Rays, Baltimore last night and through the weekend at Fenway Park. But the Red Sox, after that Tampa series, losers of 11 of 14 games, and they have found all sorts of ways to lose during this time period. Perhaps the most alarming has been the way the bullpen has performed and the back end of the bullpen in Matt Barnes. Barnes giving up a game against the Rays on Tuesday after giving up the game against the Blue Jays on Saturday and Sunday. Here is Barnes talking about the Sox trying to get back on track.
Matt, how has this streak affected the group from a mental perspective? Where you mentioned the ups and the downs, where everything was going really well for this team, really for months at a time, and now there's 2 weeks where things haven't gone well. What have you noticed about how the group is responding to what is a difficult stretch from a mental perspective, and how do you need to respond?
You know, it's hard for me to speak about what's going on in the dugout just because I don't spend a lot of time in there, honestly. I can tell you that the bullpen guys are ready to rock. I mean, we're ready to go, ready to take the ball whenever we're called. But it's difficult, right? It's a 162-game season. I mean, things aren't going to go smoothly the entire season. Very, very rarely does that ever happen. You know, if we go out and rattle off 5 or 6 in this homestand or whatever, you know, the script is completely flipped, right? We go and we sweep Tampa. We take 2 out of 3 from Tampa. This script is completely flipped. You know, good teams go through bad stretches at times. I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Dodgers had a bad stretch earlier this year, and they're 2.5 games out, right? It's the nature of the business. It's, you know, you look at a couple of games. We've had games earlier this year in which, you know, flares are dropping in, and or today. I mean, I can't tell you the number of hard hit balls that we hit to the warning track that were absolutely crushed, right? I mean, Kike had one, Bogey had one. I mean, you start running down the list of guys who are putting quality at bats together. You know, 5 feet to the left or right, those are doubles, right? So it's you know, it's about trusting in the work that we've put in for the first 6 months, including spring training, right? It's about trusting in that work and trusting in each other, knowing that everybody's going out there and busting their ass to win a ball game. And as long as we continue to do that, you know, I think that this thing is going to turn around and we're just going to be fine.
And if there are signs that things are turning around, I would point to the starting rotation. Over the last couple of games, the Sox have got solid starts. Nathan Eovaldi, you're going to hear from in just a little bit, the best out of the bunch. But Chris Sale is going to be on the mound today for the Boston Red Sox. Tanner Houck is going to be on the mound consistently for the Boston Red Sox. And Houck has been really, really good. You know, outside of a tremendous at-bat by Wander Franco and a home run, a weird home run at that, that followed with the Fenway ground rules at straightaway center field, Tanner Houck was really good in that final game. A bullpen, to me, is a bit more of a concern for the Red Sox, as there have been a number of pitchers there trending downwards. Let's hear from Houck on that incredible at-bat against Wander Franco, who is 20 years old and is going to be a superstar for the Rays for years to come. We'll see how long they're able to hold on to him, but for years to come. We'll hear from Nelson Cruz just a little bit on this Rays team as well, as he was a trade deadline acquisition for them. But first, here's Tanner Houck.
Tanner, just talk about the at-bat with Franco there in the sixth inning, and how high quality of an at-bat Franco put up against you.
Just another AB. Made some pitches. He fouled off some good pitches that can't complain with. I made a mistake on the 11th, but part of it. You're not going to be perfect every time, so just a mistake.
Tanner, you mentioned your splitter usage was much higher today. Was that an effect of the slider not being exactly where you wanted it, or you want to have a higher usage of the splitter moving forward?
Combination of both. Like I said, early on, the slider was iffy. I worked my way back into building some confidence with it, throwing it for strikes, placing it right where I want to. But the splitter has been that pitch where I've worked so hard at it that I want to go out there and take it into the games and use it. And today was one of those where I felt really confident with it in the bullpen, and I rolled with it out into the game.
You mentioned your splitter usage was much higher today. Was that an effect of the slider not being exactly where you wanted it, or you want to have a higher usage of the splitter moving forward?
Combination of both. Like I said, early on, the slider was iffy. I worked my way back into building some confidence with it, throwing it for strikes, placing it right where I want to. But the splitter has been that pitch where I've worked so hard at it that I want to go out there and take it into the games and use it. And today was one of those where I felt really confident with it in the bullpen, and I rolled with it out into the game.
So again, if I'm looking for a positive sign for the Red Sox, it's Eduardo Rodriguez with a strong start on Tuesday. It's Nathan Eovaldi with a dominating performance on Wednesday. It's the fact that Tanner Houck is in the rotation now. Nick Pivetta, I think, still has a lot to offer, and Chris Sale is coming back. I feel like down the stretch of the season, with those five starters, the Red Sox are going to have a chance to win each night, and that may be enough to propel them to the postseason. But the bullpen has got to stop giving up games as well, and the lineup has to hit. But I think the foundation of this team is going to be that offense coming around, and also the starting rotation now being much stronger than it has been in recent weeks. I talked with Nathan Eovaldi about his start.
Nate, what did the Wednesday night performance mean to you personally in a game where it kind of was one of those first games that have like had a lot of urgency for the ball club, maybe not internally, but certainly externally, to come out and deliver that type of performance?
My last two starts haven't been as well, you know, and I felt like the team really needed me to go out there and perform, and I hadn't been able to do that. You know, I was battling a couple mechanical things, and last night I was able to, you know, clean up my mechanics a little bit and then go out there and, you know, get us back on track. I mean, it helps when, you know, the offense comes out and does what they did last night. You know, we put up three in the first and two more in the second, and from that point on, it was just, for me, I felt like I had to keep my head down and just kind of, you know, stay locked in and keep trying to bring the guys back into the dugout as fast as possible with how hot it was and everything, and, you know, keep the pressure on them.
AC said that you guys would basically be robots if you weren't starting to feel antsy about losing the 10 of 12. What has the feeling like been inside the clubhouse, where this group obviously knows what it is, it knows who you are, and also who's coming down the stretch here with Chris and Tanner getting a bigger role? But were you guys starting to get antsy and see the Yankees and the Blue Jays and some of the moves they've made, and also the moves they were making up in the standings?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's hard not to look at that. We had a kind of a tougher stretch earlier on in the season. I want to say, like, right when we were playing the Mets, the offense kind of went quiet, which is rare. And, the starting pitching picked up and the bullpen picked us up as well. And we were able to not allow any runs. And, during this stretch, when we had Tampa and Detroit, everybody kind of fell apart. We were struggling on all sides of the ball. And, it's frustrating. You got the trade deadline distractions. You got a lot of other things going on. But now we got certain guys coming back that are going to be able to help us out. I want to say after my last start in Toronto, Pivetta went out there and threw an amazing game for this. He'd gone six innings and we get Barnes the ball, and unfortunately he couldn't get it done. But the starting staff started to pick us back up, and the offense comes back to life, and it all clicked last night. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that momentum going moving forward.
What did you like most about that start? You mentioned some of the mechanical issues that you're able to find yourself. Strikeouts were up for you at 10 in that game, over seven innings pitched. Was there a particular pitch that you liked better, or was it kind of a general aspect of having everything going once again?
I feel like all my pitches really work off my fastball. In the last two starts, I felt like I really couldn't command my fastball, and the velo was down a little bit due to my mechanics. But last night I was able to fix that, so I'd say the fastball. Everything works off of that, and I was able to command it at the top of the zone. I was able to run balls inside, keep it down when I needed to, and the curveball played really well off of that. The splitter was good last night, and then the cutter as well.
I think the Red Sox are going to rely heavily on Sale, as well as Houck and Garrett Whitlock, to firm up things in the bullpen for the Sox.
Garrett, what has the club's faith in this year meant to you? The fact that throughout the course of the season you've been relied upon in big innings, and now it seems that there's going to be a reliance on you, down the stretch of the season. What has that meant in terms of your development?
I mean, it's been good, just because, anytime, no matter what the situation is, you got to go out there with a 0-0 mindset. And, when AC hands you the ball, that means that he trusts you with the game. And so, no matter what the situation is, that means a lot, especially as a rookie and a Rule 5 guy. And so, it's something that I don't take for granted.
Is it tough not to ride the highs and the lows, particularly as a player going through things for the first time? And if so, which is more, difficult for you to not, after a tough night like the other night, think too much about that going into the next outing? Or if things are going well, to start thinking that, maybe I'm something that I'm not. I don't have to work as hard. Those types of thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to take each day for what it is, and so no matter the good or the bad that happened the night before, you got to turn the page and go into next day, and you got to be the best you can that day. And so, you try and focus, if you're doing good, you try and just, and take the momentum into the next day. And if you struggle or something like that, you try and turn the page as quickly as you can and go out the next day. And because what you did in the past, good or bad, doesn't affect what you do that day.
What do you learn from watching, whether it's Barnes when he's having success in the first half of the year, or after he's had a couple difficult outings, how he responds as a veteran? How much of that does a player take in, and can there be things learned from the way that the veteran players? Otto's obviously a great guy to be around too. How much do you learn from those guys, both from watching and also from talking with them?
Oh, shoot. I mean, everything that I've learned so far in the game is because of what veterans have taught me. Since spring training, I've said, I need to shut up and listen, just because, those guys have been in the league for so long, and what keeps you in the league is your knowledge and your information. And so those guys have had success and been able to stay in the league. And so everything I've learned has been from those guys. And so it's great, no matter whether they're talking to someone else or giving me advice, I'm trying to listen because they have the wisdom to stay in the game.
What do the additions of Sale and Houck having a more sustained role, you think, mean to the pitching staff as a whole? Is there a trickle-down effect? Is there a momentum from Sale coming back and being, around the club?
Oh, man, shoot, there's no one in the game that's like Chris Sale. So, any time you have him, it's going to be a plus. And then Tanner, off the field and on the field, is great, especially for me. He's one of my closest friends on the team, just because, we're youngsters together. And so, I love having Tanner around. And so that brings up my day. But, the stuff he does out on the mound speaks for itself. And, those two guys are going to be able to lead and push this team.
Final thing is, how much are you looking forward to the stretch of the season here? As we're in mid-August, the pennant race is on. It's felt really, with this series, perhaps for the first time, that there's kind of an urgency to these games.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take each day and each game one at a time. You know, kind of like I said on Tuesday, you got to, today we got the Rays, tomorrow we got the Orioles, but today is the only day that matters. Win or lose, you move on to tomorrow, and same thing. You got to try and win every single day.
Also, Kyle Schwarber is going to be back sooner rather than later, according to Alex Cora, the slugging DH, I think, to start things with JD moving out to left field will be a key for the Red Sox. I talked with Kyle Schwarber.
Just what has it been like for you to watch the team here since you've been acquired? What have you identified as being some of the strengths, weaknesses, and the challenge of going through a difficult time for a ball club?
Yeah, I mean, I think, anyone that's been in this game for a decent amount of time, they see rough patches. And, I know that the guys are excited for the challenge ahead with this series and having this homestand and then, having a quick little road trip and then coming right back. So, it is what it is. So, you try to weather the storm and then you reset here. We had that off day yesterday. Reset and then it's a reboot and get back after it. You got to put it behind you. That's the biggest thing. And, these guys are a very close-knit group from what I've been around and been able to assess. And these guys have made it completely very easy on me to come in being a new guy that's to transfer over to these guys and have them get to know me. So I've been really, really happy about that. And, I firmly believe that's what makes a good baseball team is how close the group is. And these guys are very close, and it's a very good baseball team.
What's it been like for you from a mental perspective in that you were acquired and there's anticipation on your part, on fans' part, as to what your impact is going to be, but you've had to, obviously manage things and make sure that you go through a process that allows for you to be healthy. Has that been difficult? Has it been one of the more difficult things in your career to want to have an impact, particularly when a team isn't playing well, but to be patient?
Yeah, I think, on my side, you get antsy because, you feel like you can do more, but you also have to respect what the injury is and what the trainers are saying to you and have to be able to check off the final boxes. And, I get antsy just because the competitor in me wants to be out there and wants to help this team win. And, I'm just excited about the opportunity whenever that does come to be able to get out here and play in front of these great fans and play at Fenway Park.
Has the groin injury in any way affected your desire to play first, or is that just a part of that process, that transition to the position?
Yeah, I think that's just more of a, it comes with the gig. Haven't played there before, and, your body's getting adjusted, and it's not a big hindering thing, so I'm not worried about it, and, I'm going to keep working to, if I were to be inserted in there, that the team's not going to miss a beat.
Prior to the hamstring injury, you were so hot, and you thought that you were getting to work in underneath the stadium and the cage and to keep your timing right. That was obviously some time ago. Do you still feel that your timing is right? You've been able to get in the work on the hitting side?
Well, I definitely feel like it's definitely close. There's nothing that simulates game speed unless being in a game, and you're not going to really notice that, but until you get in that part. But I'm doing the best of my ability to be able to keep the eye, the timing, the swing, and everything intact, just to make sure that if you go out on rehab, it's a short stint, you can get right back.
So the Tampa Bay Rays took 2 of 3 from the Sox and left Boston with a 5-game lead in the American League East this after making it to the World Series last year, falling to the Dodgers. The Rays are still arguably the American League's best team, and they may have even gotten a little bit better on the offensive side of things. And one of the big reasons they've had the success they've had is a continued ability to have solid relief pitching. And sometimes those relief pitchers become starters. Andrew Kittredge is the best of the bunch for the Tampa Bay Rays. I talked with the Rays All-Star.
1.33 ERA this year is so impressive for a relief pitcher, particularly a guy that throws multiple innings. What has led to the success you've had, and how much do you enjoy throwing multiple innings?
I think probably what's led to the success is just trusting, what we believe in here, which is just attacking the zone. A lot of times in baseball, you'll see some of, the results aren't always indicative of how you're doing. And then I think right now I'm feeling good and I'm attacking and my mentality is right. And so I'm seeing some good results. Sometimes it's not always the way it works. And so I'm trying to just, you know, ride the hot hand, I guess, and just keep doing what I'm doing, you know, really attack hitters and you know, try to throw as many strikes as possible and just trust that my stuff's good enough to get outs. As far as the multi-inning role, you know, I like it. I want to throw as much as possible. You know, I want the ball. I want to try to help our team win. And if that's in a one-inning role, that's fine. If it's a two-inning, whatever it is, you know, I'm all for it. So as long as I feel good and the results are there, I'll take the ball as much as they want.
You dominated the Sox in two innings here on Tuesday night, and in that, it's something you've done throughout the course of the season, predominant slider usage over and over again. And you think about, you know, Mariano Rivera, of course, threw almost one pitch exclusively through the course of his career. Does it surprise you that if a pitcher has a dominant pitch that guys can't hit, that people don't do more often what you do? Or does it make sense to have that offset if you don't have a pitch that can continually get guys out if you're able to throw strikes with it?
You know, I think that's one of the things that we're good about here is identifying what guys do well and then try to just do that as much as possible. The other night, my slider was by far the best pitch that I had going that night, so I'd relied heavily on it. You know, I think ideally I would like to be more of a 50-50 mix with that in my sinker just because I think they play well off each other. You know, the other night I didn't have as great of a feel for the sinker, so I did rely a lot more heavily on the slider. But I think for me personally, in an ideal world, I got a better mix. You know, a few years back, obviously my stuff was a little different, but I was 75-80% slider. And I think the sinker has really just helped make the slider better, so guys aren't able to just sit on it quite as much. So, yeah, I mean, I think you do see that a little bit in the game today, kind of trending in, you know, if guys have what they consider a dominant pitch, starting to rely on it, and the usage is going a lot up. I mean, we have Matt Whistler in our bullpen who throws, you know, 90% sliders because it's that elite of a pitch, then he's comfortable using it that often, and he's having great success doing it. So I think you see it a lot more in the game now. I think teams are starting to realize, you know, you want guys to use their best stuff as often as they can. So, yeah, it might trend in that direction.
One of the reasons the Rays have been so successful over the years is the bullpen, and obviously using relievers as openers and really kind of changing the game from that perspective. As a guy who has been around the Rays and is one of the multi-inning guys, what do you point to as being the reason why the Rays have had such success in developing, first identifying, of course, but then developing relief pitcher after relief pitcher who's had success and allowed for this team to have, you know, basically a core that then they can build off of?
I don't know what it is that they do as far as identifying guys, but I do know that the guys that we do end up with, they're really good at identifying what they do well specifically and then telling them to do that more often than not. Like we just, you know, I was saying, if you have a dominant slider or something, that's the thing that they want you to throw. But really when it comes down to it is just having your whatever it is that you do well, doing that aggressively in the zone. Throw the ball over the plate, and because pitching is so much easier when you're ahead in the count. So the idea for us is just throw strikes with your best stuff.
I want to ask you about, you know, the outside view of the Rays, which is very similar to what the Patriots was when they initially started winning championships, where everybody's like, it's the system. And then Brady became the GOAT. They started to bring in more superstar-type players, Randy Moss, and obviously they are where they are today. But it was always the system. Is that frustrating for a player, particularly a guy of an all-star caliber like you, where it's not the players, but it's, you know, what they do? It's the, and people think like there's this magic, you know, special sauce which creates the Rays' success as opposed to ball players winning ball games.
That doesn't really bother me. Honestly, my goal, and I think everybody on this team's goal, is just to win games. And whether, you know, people want to point to it's the way we do things or if it's just us as individuals or collectively as a team, I mean, however they want to spin it, it's fine with me as long as we keep winning games. You know, I don't try to read too much into the way people think that it's just a system that we run here. I mean, I think we've proven the last couple of years that we're just pretty good, and you know, individually and collectively as a group. So, you know, don't really probably put too much thought into that. I think the great thing about this team is that we collectively come to the park expecting to win, and I think we've proven that we can do that more often than not.
That is Rays reliever Andrew Kittredge. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. The struggle has been real for the Boston Red Sox, as each player, just as they contributed to the success, has had moments that have been difficult for the Red Sox. They're hoping they turn things around. They've now won two of their last three, including an 8-1 victory over the Baltimore Orioles on Saturday. I talked with Adam Ottavino about the difficulties of the struggle and how, as a veteran, he's trying to impact those who are younger than him.
Joined by Red Sox reliever Adam Ottavino, and how would you describe what the Red Sox experience has been like for you this year, being a part of the bullpen, being a part of the organization? How would you describe it?
Overall, it's been great. You know, I've had a lot of fun getting to know everybody over here, and working with people that work here. I think are really good at what they do. You know, the clubbies, trainers, management, all that. So it's been really good, really good experience.
How much does the experience of being a veteran help when a team is going through difficult times, where perhaps for a rookie you experience adversity for the first time and things could be a little bit different? Do you think that there is an advantage to experience when a team is facing adversity and having perspective, or does adversity become, you know, a challenge no matter what your level of experience is?
I think it's still a challenge. I just think it's just different challenge. Like, you know, when you're younger, you're just going through it personally, trying to figure out what you need to do. But when you're older, you're trying to not only work on your own stuff, but help everybody else get through it, because you have that experience and take on a little more responsibility trying to help out, you know, make sure that the team, you know, has the right mindset. You know, so you're working on more than just yourself when you're a little older. So sometimes it's a little much, but I think that's kind of comes with the territory of it.
And what's that been like for you as a veteran? And so you mentioned kind of that weight that falls on your shoulder of making sure that you're trying to help people through difficult times. What is that like? What is that detail?
I'm not going to get into too much detail on that, obviously. But I think, you know, as a leader and as an older guy who has experience, you have a responsibility to kind of make sure everybody's head's in the right place. And you can kind of see the pitfalls that people might fall into, because maybe you fell into them yourself when you were younger, or, you know, maybe you've been in enough clubhouses just to kind of see when it goes right and when it goes wrong. So, you know, you're just looking out for little things, little patterns that you've seen in the past, and trying to make sure that you keep everybody going in the right direction.
And it's been said that a lot of times the best clubhouses are ones that you can't tell whether the team is winning or losing based upon, you know, the vibe before the game. After the game, things obviously, you know, a little bit different. But when the team comes to the ballpark each day, things should be generally the same. Are you a believer in that? And how has this clubhouse, you know, managed that adversity it's been facing?
Yeah, I think you're trying to thread the needle between, like, being the same and also having a sense of urgency, you know. So, you know, I think outside noise always makes it tougher if people are paying attention too much to that. I think it's best just to kind of keep everything in the clubhouse in between, you know, the relationships you have with your teammates, and just reminding everybody how good they are and, you know, what matters is today and not yesterday, and that sort of thing. But I think overall, like, you got to keep the vibes good. Definitely don't want to get too low, that's for sure.
On that, you know, even through the course of your big league career, things have changed in terms of how, you know, prolific social media is. And back, you know, in the day, like 20 years ago, in the 04 Red Sox, it was sports talk radio. It was newspapers and, you know, family and friends. You could kind of tune that stuff out if you wanted to. But now, I mean, everything's right there on your phone, and you go into your Twitter feed, you go into even areas you would not expect to see different criticisms or conversation about the ball club, and you may find it. How difficult do you think is that for players, where it just kind of pops up in your phone right there, and there's not, maybe it's not maybe as easy to tune it out as it was before?
Well, you can tune it out if you'd like. You can delete those things off your phone and choose not to participate in that narrative and whatever narrative is out there that other people are creating. you can totally choose to make that decision. Most guys don't choose to make that decision. They choose to hear it all, see it all. But I think that the mature thing to do is to make your own narrative and create what you think about based on what you think, not on what others think. And I think that's kind of the key, and we're kind of getting there slowly over time. More and more athletes are realizing that, you know, a few voices on Twitter, Instagram, talk radio, whatever, it's not really going to help you. What's going to help you is dictating your own future with your own mindset.
Nelson Cruz joined a first-place team and has helped that first-place team. At the age of 41, he's still one of the best hitters in baseball, and his age 39 and 40 seasons were phenomenal with the Minnesota Twins. So what's been the secret for Nelson Cruz, who has gotten better as he's gotten older?
This team is obviously in first place in the AL East and seems to have a better lineup than it's had in the past. Certainly you're a big part of that. What stands out to you about what makes this Rays group click, and how good are you guys?
Well, I think defense and pitching is the one who make you win games, especially against teams that you cannot make any mistakes. You cannot give them extra outs, and I think that's the key. You know, definitely we are a good team coming back from behind, especially late innings. We find a way to score late in innings, and even when we score early, you know, that give you an extra confidence to the starter. So, I mean, we can do a bunch of things that I can point to help you win games.
When the Rays acquired you, when the Blue Jays made their trades, when the Yankees made theirs, it seemed like everybody else got better around the Red Sox. What impact do you think it had on the Rays to have you come in, or to have some of the pitchers that came in, Berrios, your teammate in Minnesota, join the Blue Jays, Gallo and Rizzo go to the Yankees? What impact do you think it has for a team when they have the type of acquisition at the deadline?
Yeah, definitely it helps. It's always welcome. In my case, they definitely feel like you need an extra bat in there. They give you more balance, and I'm really enjoying my time here. A great group of guys. I can talk about Barrios. He's going to be a great acquisition for the Blue Jays. He's a guy who's a young guy. He wants to compete. He give you good outings. Most of the times he's on the mound, so he just give you more balance as a team.
Do you feel like this is the best team in the division, or is it still very much in play with what the Red Sox could do? Yankees, obviously, and Blue Jays moving up the standings.
It's very, very tight. You know, I think the whole East is all over just talent down to ground. If you go with the Red Sox or Blue Jays or the Yankees, us, we look pretty even, you know. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's about defense and pitching, and we do pretty good playing defense.
When a trade like that happens and you come in and there's an expectation that you could be the difference, do you feel that yourself? Do you allow yourself to kind of put that weight on your shoulders and say, okay, this team made it to the World Series last year, I could be the difference this year?
Well, I just kind of do my thing, you know. Nothing extra that I can do. I'm not going to steal bases or do anything crazy. I'm going to come and give good at-bats, and let my results and the talent just take over, you know. Nothing else you can do to change.
I remember talking to you when David Ortiz was in his final season. We talked about what he was doing at the age of 40, and you said, yeah, hopefully I can do something like that. And here you are, 40 now, 41, and you're still producing as though you were in your prime. What have been the keys to that, and what in your approach allows for you to minimize perhaps some other things in order to allow for you to perform your best when it's time in the game?
Well, I think when you go to age, you know, they want to take you out is either performance down or help, you know. And like you mentioned, I've been doing pretty good, but my performance and my health is also. I don't have any issue with my body. And that's the things that can slow you down. Thank God I'll be able to play, and like I said, I feel healthy. So that's the key.
Nelson, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Toronto Blue Jays making a push for the playoffs as well, and one of the big reasons for that has been the acquisition of Marcus Semien. He came over from the Oakland Athletics, where he was a shortstop, moved to second to play alongside Bo Bichette, and has become an all-star, in fact, an all-star starter at second base.
Marcus, what has impressed you most about Bo and Vladdy and what they've been able to accomplish at a young age, and how they kind of go about the game and their approach?
Well, I mean, they're playing great. First of all, they're all-stars. That's hard to do at any age. You know, they both are showing exactly what they did as minor leaguers, and now they're big leaguers and they haven't missed a beat. I think that they still have a long way to go, too. So it's scary when you think about two guys who are 22, 23, all-stars with a long way to go in their development to see how many MVPs they may win.
How hard is it to produce the way that they produce, given the pressure that has been on them, given, you know, the whole course through their minor league career? There was such a focus on them, and particularly Vladdy Jr. What do you think allows for them, from a mental standpoint, to have the success they have and do so in such a professional way?
Well, it first takes talent, which they have a lot of, and then it's just a matter of going through failure and bouncing back from it. That's what I've always found. For me, I'm not nearly as talented, but I know that there's going to be failure. You're not going to go into a big league season and not fail. So just that having that understanding is step one. Them being around their fathers, I'm sure, they probably share that with them too. So they learn that at a young age, I'm sure.
What's clicked for you this year? Obviously, starting all-star game, second baseman. This lineup is obviously one that is really, really stacked. What's clicked for you this year, and how have you found yourself with the Blue Jays?
Well, I feel like I made some strides in 2019, and last year struggled for the first month, finished strong, and just built off of that. Obviously, now I'm at a different position. Maybe a position where it's easier to focus on hitting, because shortstop's so demanding. So maybe that's gone into it a little bit, but I just stick to my routine every day, and I've been very disciplined with everything I've been doing.
Everybody talks about the offensive side of the game with your infield, but I've been impressed this series and watching you guys this year about how good you guys are defensively. What stands out to you about the way that Vladdy has made the switch from third to first, you from short to second, and we Cav and Bo also play on the left side of the infield?
Yeah, we're very versatile all the way around. I mean, I think you can't leave Espinal out either. He's
right.
Been impressive. He can play short as well. He's playing great third. We all put in the work. Every opportunity we have, we're out here getting better. We have good coaching around us. We have good athletes, and we're using the data to stand in the right spots, hopefully.
I want to ask you about Tanner Houck as well, where the eye test shows a guy that has incredible stuff and likely has a really good big league career ahead of him if he can stay healthy. Your eye test as a hitter facing him, particularly that slider, what were your takeaways? Is he somebody that's special?
Yeah, he's got a great slider and good sinker and good four seam. So you can't really put together an approach to see that slider close, because he works that sinker in as well. But I think for me, it was just trying to find his release point. He kind of reminds me of Sale from the right side with the crossbody three-quarter action. So hopefully we get to see him again. I know he got sent down, which is crazy, but hopefully we get to see him again and make some adjustments.
The final thing is on the Red Sox as a whole, where they were not expected by a lot of people to have the success they've had. What has stood out to you about how they've done it this year, and how do you feel you match up with them as a group?
Well, I don't think it was fair that people wrote him off after a 60-game season. I mean, I think personally people did that to me as well. Like, 60-game season, you can't just say a team is terrible after that. They had injuries. They didn't have their manager. They added pieces, and they have a fan base that is, I'm sure it's really fun to play in front of, like, every night with that energy. So now you're seeing their complete group for a full season, and their lineup is relentless. You talk about the 3-4-5 guys they have. It's one of the best in the game. I got to spend some time with them at the All-Star game and watch them work, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, look at them.
George Springer has been so hot as of late, as both Simeon and Springer last weekend hit huge home runs late against the Boston Red Sox. Simeon's was a walk-off. Springer's was a game winner. Both came against Matt Barnes.
Just what's impressed you most about Bo and Vladdy as kind of young superstars, how they carry themselves, the consistency? What has stood out to you most about them?
I think truly how young they are. That gets lost on a lot of people because of what they can do out there. Obviously, they've grown up in the game, with their fathers, but they're their own individuals, and I mean, the way that they prepare, the way that they work is impressive.
Yeah, I wanted to get to you on that, where 22 and 23, like, that's the point where most guys are in Double A,
right,
or like Triple A, and these guys have been in the bigs now for a couple of years. Bo's start is one of the historic best starts we've we've seen. So how do you think is that trend for them, and what do you notice about their ability to be consistent? Do you see that translating for a long period of time?
I do. You know, I see them being themselves for a long time. You know, I think, you know, besides the numbers, they've actually gone through ups and downs this year, you know, learning how to kind of maneuver themselves when they're not swinging the bat the way that they want to. And, you know, that they just understand themselves, which is really, really rare for guys who are that young. I mean, I was telling them today, I mean, at 22, I was in high A, and, you know, they're in the big leagues, you know, hitting homers. So it's impressive, but I don't think they're anywhere close to a finished product.
How much of a burden do you think it's been for this team to not be at a home ballpark, per se, for the last 2 years? Do you feel that there's been a tangible effect on wins and losses?
It may be. You know, obviously there's no place like home, you know, but being in your home ballpark, your own bed, you know, your own place where you have a sense of normalcy. But I can say this, you know, nobody on this team has complained. They haven't said one thing about it. Just kind of is what it is. You know, this is a game of adjustments. And I think, you know, all these guys have done a hell of a job the last, you know, 2 years or, you know, year and a half of just kind of rolling with it and, you know, showing up to play every day.
How far do you feel like you guys are off from being a championship team? I mean, you look at the lineup and it's one of the best, if not the best, in baseball, but pitching obviously has not been, you know, where you guys need it to be to compete with Red Sox and so forth. Do you see that you'd be just being a couple pitchers away? Is this a championship team that's going to be ready in the next couple of years, or can you compete this year?
This is hands down a championship team. You know, the only thing I think that's in our way is we just don't have a lot of experience that, you know, a lot of other teams have that are kind of making that run, and that's fine. You know, it's okay. You know, I think what, you know, what we're learning as a team as we go about ourselves, you know, kind of, you know, going through adversity, not being in a home ballpark, you know, I'm really not too concerned about it. You know, that this is a really good team up and down our lineup, our bullpen, our, you know, our staff. This is a very, very good team. And, you know, I mean, we're right there. You know, we just have to, you know, keep going, and you know, we'll see what happens.
This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. The Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. The Cape Cod Baseball League is a collection of all-stars and future big leaguers in what is the best amateur league in the world. It is so fun. It is so pure to see people show up and watch the game as they did back in the day. It's a community-oriented focus. The players stay with host families. They have jobs in the community. And someday they will be big leaguers. Chris Sale, Aaron Judge, so many others came through the Cape Cod League. Mike Roberts is one of the most successful managers in the Cape League as we take a look today at the Kituat Cattaliers, who recently lost in the Western Division Finals to the Bourne Braves. Brewster Whitecaps ended up winning the Cape League this year. Here is Mike Roberts.
How would you describe what, you know, the Cape League means to you as a person, and also what do you think it means to the players? What is the significance of what takes place here every summer?
Cape League's the best amateur baseball league in the world. Definitely has the last 30, maybe 40 years. The experience for me is a dream come true. To be around 10 teams, great coaches, the best amateur players in the United States, and to be right here at Lowell Park is home to me for the last 20 years. There's no way to really express it in words because it's so deep in your heart that you fall in love with this place. For the players, I think it's very different for a lot of players. Some embrace, some don't. Some are here for a week, some are here for the whole summer. It really varies. The ones who really love their host families and become a member of that family, I think, have a phenomenal experience. Incredible. For a lifetime, you know, marriages and children, that type thing. So I think we're all just so fortunate to be here.
Do you feel like this is, in a lot of ways, baseball kind of at its purest? I mean, it's free. The players come out, they're engaged, they have jobs away from the field, engaged with the host families. And when you look at some of the star players who've come through here, whether it's with you or, you know, Aaron Judge or Chris Sale and some of the guys, how much do you think the Keep League plays in their development?
Well, I think, it again, it depends on the individual. Do you want to develop? Are you here just for scouts to see you, or you're here to develop? You know, some guys like Aaron Judge are so talented, everybody can see that. Other guys have got to develop while they're here. So, but I also think the Major League Draft is playing a huge deal with it now, and in a very difficult manner. And the thing we want to prevent is this becoming a travel league, that we do not want this to become a travel league, and I'm very concerned about that.
Yeah, that was going to be my last question, is the roster from opening day to now for you is remarkably different. You're in the playoffs, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, left and didn't come back, and that's not just you. It's across the board because of the draft.
Yeah, it's something that got to work on. It's not good to have 60 players here in the summertime. You know, we want players our fans can recognize from start to finish, so there's a lot of work to make that happen.
Sweet. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. All right, here we go. Let's go.
Roberts, the dad of former big leaguer Brian Roberts. Two perhaps future big leaguers make up the middle infield for the Kettleers. We'll start with Eric Brown Jr., who is from Coastal Carolina.
Eric, how would you define what the Cape Cod League experience is like, and what have you gained from being here through this summer?
I think the Cape Cod experience is just second to none. I mean, you come out to the baseball field every day, and you're facing the best talent, the best pitchers, and you're facing a lineup that can hit 1 through 9. So, I mean, it really teaches you the love the game, because, I mean, you're going to go out there and you're going to face everybody's best arm and best pitch. So you can either have a good day, you can have a bad day. So it teaches you that you actually need to love the game and know your reason why you're playing. And even if you have a good day, like, so you go 0-for-4, but you barrel the ball up 4 times. So it's not about the result, it's all about the process.
How would you also describe what the kind of the overall all-encompassing experience is, where there's the fans, there's kind of the love of the game aspect of things, the kids that are around all the time? Like, does it bring you to a different place as a baseball player from a mental standpoint?
It does. I mean, just as you said, the kids is a big part, because, I mean, growing up, I mean, we were all in that same spot at one point, and then the fans, especially at Lowell Park. The Lowell Park fans are second to none. I mean, we got thousands of fans out here every night. I mean, I can't be more thankful than I am right now. Like, it's honestly a blessing to have everyone out here.
What were the adaptations through the year as well? Obviously, for guys, first time using the wood bat, but it seems that this season, with the draft being late, there were a lot of roster changes as well. How did that affect you and the changes that you learned at this level?
Well, going into it, we kind of knew that we were going to lose a couple guys. We had a pretty stout team coming into it. And so it's just about collecting up, getting new guys and bringing them in and just trying to adapt them to the team and just bring them in like their family, because, I mean, that's what we are over here.
Now Ryan Ritter, who led the Cape League in hitting this year from Kentucky.
Ryan, you've had one of the best years here in the Cape League. What does it do for a player when you come in and face this level of competition and have the type of success you've had?
It just gives me some confidence going back into the fall and spring. Been a fun time with my boys here, and they've been getting me a better here.
What would you describe? How would you describe what the Cape League experience is like, you know, for a player? And what has these last 6 weeks been like?
Yeah, it's been a great time. You learn a lot about yourself and your swing and everything, and it just. I mean, it's a glimpse of pro ball, so you need to get into a good routine and show up to the field ready to play every day.
Is that, you know, the biggest takeaway, is the what you need to do to get better, and is this season kind of give you that perspective?
Yeah, I say the biggest thing is just to go out and enjoy every day, because if you don't, then it's not fun for you, and you got to have fun playing baseball. So I think you just got to learn, just go out there, compete, and just have fun.
How about the aspect of bringing, you know, things back to your roots as a, you know, a kid? Like, it seems like there's so much excitement, kids around all the time. What does that do, and how would you describe what the Cape League experience is like, you know, off the field? Like, you just played a playoff game, you're coming out, you're getting ready to do the field, there's the job aspect of it. Like, there's the amazing parts of being on the field, then there's also kind of the humbling aspect and bringing it back to your baseball roots as a kid.
Right. I mean, when I was a kid, my little team went to, like, a college and got some autographs, so I remember it was a lot of fun for me. So I just remember, like, how I felt back then, and just get back to the kids now and make sure I'm signing autographs and just, like, give them knuckles or something.
This has been the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.